Prime Time replay from Money FM 89.3.
The iconic Sim Lim Square on Rochor Canal Road has been put up for collective sale through a public tender at a reserve price of $1.25 billion. It's one of Singapore's largest IT shopping malls, comprising six floors and two basements, which together house 492 commercial units. Sim Lim Square sits on a 99-year leasehold site and has a remaining lease of 63 years. Well, joining us for Powering Your Property today is Karamjit Singh, senior consultant at the real estate firm JLL and a CEO of ShowSuite. Now, ShowSuite.com is a new homes portal where you can experience your new dream home in 3D and VR. You can download the app for free on the Apple App Store and Google Play Store. Well, Karamjit, Sim Lim Square was built in 1985 and it's become quite an iconic shopping mall for gadget hunters in a prime location. What do you think of the price point?
Price point is very high. It kind of reflects the retail rents that it offers, plus a big premium, and that I'm quite sure that the individual owners are hoping for. But a key question is that will there be a taker among an investor or shopping mall operator who could still make a profit out of it by paying $1.25 billion for the property, and then separately a big sum of money towards the redevelopment charges and the topping up of the lease. So when you put it all together, it sounds like it's going to be a hugely tall order for a property developer or a mall developer to swallow that price point.
Okay, but just how attractive is this site, Karamjit, for developers? And you know, if you look ahead, what is the potential as you see it?
Well, it is a very iconic, attractive site. It's got a lot of things going for it. It's right at the edge. It's prominent. It's corner plot. So it's got a lot of pluses. But again, ultimately, it boils down to the economics of the investment and what are the alternatives that investors have as alternatives. That will be the key in my mind.
Mm-hmm. Well, Vikas Gupta, the chairman of the Malls Collective Sales Committee, said they are currently under heavy scrutiny, or rather, heavily underutilized, and the strata systems does not allow Sim Lim Square to use the spare space. So it's the ideal time to kind of refresh the mall. So what limitations does the strata system bring?
Yeah, so a strata title mall has a lot of limitations. You can never kind of position it as one mall, as how another building that's singly owned can do so. Number one would be in putting together the right retail mix so that you don't have redundancies, you don't have situations where everyone's doing the same thing, that it becomes an overkill, and it thereby devaluing the value proposition to customers and the retailers. That's one. And then obviously there are challenges around the disalignment of interest between what works for an individual strata owner at different points, at different levels, and what is important for the collective good of the mall. Whereas you do have an alignment of interest when you have one owner who owns the entire development project or commercial project. So these are the classic dilemmas that strata title malls will constantly face, whether it's an old mall or whether it's a new mall.
What can we make about the alignment or the competing interests here? I mean, why is the committee opting for a collective sale if the plan is to refresh the mall?
Well, in order to achieve that alignment that I just spoke about, there's very little else that they can do but to kind of throwing it the towel, getting it redeveloped, it, have one investor or mall operator acquire and rebuild, refresh the design. It is quite dated. It was relevant when it was built in the 80s and continued to be relevant in the 90s and 2000. But, you know, the world has changed. A lot of things are going electronic and e-commerce. So how should that be taken in consideration? A classic case in point was Funan Center. Mm-hmm. So Funan Center was owned by one investor who still chose to pull it down and refresh it, and they could do it because they owned it completely. And while the new development is not completed yet, it's due to be completed very soon, but it's already beginning to look very exciting and re-energized.
Mm-hmm. Well, Karamjit, I just want to get your opinion on this. If Sim Lim Square is sold en bloc, will it be a loss to Singapore's IT retail scene? I mean, how relevant do you think IT shopping malls will continue to be here in Singapore?
So I think on one hand, there will be the diehards and the traditionalists who would love the ability to walk from one shop within the same mall where everything is available under one building, under one roof. But, you know, give it another 5 to 10 years, you know, I think that will change dramatically. It has already dropped over the last 5 years ever since e-commerce kicked in. So I think the signs are quite telling. So in a way, it does make sense to reposition the mall through a redevelopment scheme.
Karamjit, last week, data from the Urban Redevelopment Authority pointed to a mismatch for residential take-up and the launches in the first quarter of this year. According to the Urban Redevelopment Authority's quarterly figures released on Friday, developers launched close to 3,000 units in the first quarter. This compared to under 1,700 units launched in the fourth quarter of last year. But what was sold was 1,838 units in Q1, very similar to 1,836 units sold in Q4. So why does there seem to be such a disparity between the take-up and the launch rate?
Well, the supply side of the equation is very well driven by as and when developers who acquired land about a year ago. The moment they get all the requisite approvals to be able to launch, they're usually driven to launch at the earliest opportunity. So it's very driven by having all the ducks line up, so to speak. But whereas the demand side of it doesn't correlate with the supply. It's like having a limited size bottle that no matter if you have two spouts pouring water into it, it's got that same capacity. And hence, the moment you have more pipes trying to pump water into the same bottle, you know, ultimately there will be an overflow. Now, so that is unfortunately something that's going to be here to stay in the coming quarters. Because over the last 2 years, we all had an amazing run-up in land purchasing activity directly from the government and also through collective sales. And so we are bound to see quite a bit of overhang in the coming quarters.
Mm-hmm. Well, what impact will this have on launches over the next few months, Karamjit? And would developers hold back for now to correct this mismatch?
Well, you know, every developer is driven by a timeline, a clock that's ticking on them. And that clock started ticking the moment they acquired the land. And so it's going to be very difficult for them to get their heads around pulling back launches because if not, they would need to rush towards the tail end of the time moratorium. Otherwise, they would be subjected to high stamp duties in the form of penalties. So everyone has to ensure that they've got their own interests covered, which is to be competitive at it and ensure that they have differentiated product. But having said that, to your first question, it would mean that every developer will have to be content with a generally slower pace of sales than what developers saw perhaps in the first half of last year.
Well, the consumer wants to know, given this overhang that you mentioned, Karamjit, could this impact the price of new launches coming up?
It would eventually have an impact. But again, I think the impact would be different in different geographical locations. And I think the key would be to look out for those areas where there's going to be intense number of competition in that you have so many projects competing for the same pool of buyers. Then obviously that would be an ideal hunting ground for investors and home buyers. While it hasn't come to a point where developers are slashing prices just so as to meet sales target. But at some point of time, if sales don't move fast enough, then there could be a crunch as they hit closer towards their respective deadlines.
Mm-hmm. And given the oversupply of new launches, is it then a good time for potential home buyers to go out and go house hunting now?
Well, you know, it's always a classic case. There's never going to be that perfect bottom of the market where, okay, guys, here's the point where you should go hunting. Because the moment there's a convergence of opinion that everyone's beginning to think that this is ideal time, you know, you will have demand outstripping supply and we'll have the classic uptick in sentiments all over again. So I think the general advice would be, you know, always stay connected to the market, you know, be aware of what's available. And if new home is your game and that's what you're looking to buy, then I think it really pays to go house hunting, diligent about it, be aware, compare products. And that's when you will know a good deal when you come across it. Because if you're not plugged into the circuit, you'll never be able to sniff that out.
And keep tuned to Money FM, especially when Karamjit Singh is joining us. He's senior consultant at real estate firm JLL and CEO of Show Suite. Now, if we move to commercial property, Karamjit, URA stats showed that rentals of office and retail space also slipped by 0.6% in the first quarter of 2019. This in contrast with the increase of 0.5% in the fourth quarter of last year. So what is the outlook for office rental space?
So that's kind of a surprise anomaly, and because the general trend of the office rent market is upwards, and of course it's also driven by when deals are signed up. So I think that's kind of an unexpected blip, but the overall trend still seems to be upward, although the pace of rise of office rents is slowing down, but still in the upward direction.
Okay, so thank you very much, Karamjit Singh, senior consultant at the real estate firm JLL and CEO of Show Suite. ShowSuite.com is a new homes portal where you can experience your new dream home in 3D and VR. You can download the app for free in the Apple App Store and Google Play Store. So this has been Powering Your Property on Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. Or download the SPH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.